Hey everyone, welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We are so glad that you are with us tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about yes, you can homeschool your struggling learner. And with us is Allison Morrow from Good Schooling. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you. Hey, Peggy.
We are so happy that you're with us. And this topic we had not planned for, you know, the circumstances that we're in. A lot of people are going, no, I can't, but I'm forced to anyways.
Right.
So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And we also want to thank Bookshark, who is sponsoring this episode. We'll learn more about them and the curriculum that they have that is really good for struggling learners. Mm-hmm. But thank you, Bookshark, for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna dive into a lot of things tonight. And as we're getting started, though, I want you to get to know Allison and a little bit about her and her family and about her company called Good Schooling and what she does to help homeschoolers. And then we're gonna dive into our topic, kind of two ways. We're gonna first address those that are emergency homeschooling, but then if you really think that maybe this is something that you wanna consider, maybe more long-term, and is this a possibility, then hang on for the rest of the interview because we're going to talk about, yes, you can, right?
Yep. Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
All right. Well, again, thank you, Allison, for joining us and for talking about this topic because it is very important. I think a lot of us really struggle with, can I really do it? Mm-hmm. And we're going to say, yes, you can tonight. Right?
Absolutely. But I do understand people who are in this position, who did not expect to be in this position. You know, I think back to when we first started homeschooling, we didn't realize that either of our girls had any issues. And so we just started, you know, I actually had been a, elementary and middle school teacher. And so I'm trained in education and my husband and I had decided from the beginning, like we're going to homeschool our kids. That was just a given from the day they were born. And so the time came and we started, and actually we had a really weird, the summer right before we were going to start like our official with the curriculum and everything, our lives got flipped upside down and I actually had to go back to work. And so for our first 2 years of homeschooling, my husband was the one doing it and I was teaching middle school, yes, which had not been expected at all. And, you know, up until that year, we just, you know, they were little. So we were just learning through life. We weren't using curriculum. We were just doing our thing. But then we started with, you know, more formal structured educating. And that was when I realized that all of the assumptions I'd made about homeschooling had been based on what I knew from being a classroom teacher. And so I had assumed, well, I'm a teacher, so of course I can do this. Like, this won't be hard, you know? And then it turns out, oh my gosh, homeschooling is virtually nothing like being a teacher. What do you know?
I've heard that so many times, classroom teachers that come home and homeschool.
Oh my gosh.
Like, this is not
anything like that. Not at all. Oh, mercy. So those first 2 years, I mean, obviously it was complicated by the fact that we'd assumed I would be the one doing the teaching and I wasn't even home. I was gone and my husband was having to do it. But even so, you know, we'd sit and we'd talk and we'd look at curriculum and try to figure out how are we going to do this. And when we got to the end of those first couple of years, we kind of took this deep breath and looked back and went, wow, that was way harder than we thought it was going to be. Way harder. And we started thinking, homeschooling, we knew people who homeschooled. Mm-hmm. And they seemed to enjoy it. They didn't seem to have had it as rough a go as we had, but we knew other families who had tried to homeschool and had gone, whoa, never mind, this is too much. And so we started thinking about the fact that there are all these things that when you jump into homeschooling, you really don't have any idea what you're getting into because everybody is so individualized. So you talk to this family, if that's the only family you talk to, you think homeschooling is going to look like this, except their family doesn't look like your family.
So true.
Yes. And so then you start and you're like, wow, doesn't work at all. So it must be me. Oh, it's working for them, but it's not working here. So I must be doing something wrong. So we started analyzing this and realized, you know, there's no set like structured way to approach this. Everyone kind of dives in and they ask around for curriculum suggestions and they ask around for, you know, groups to join and things. And they just, this works for them, so I'll grab that. And this works for them, so I'll grab that. And then they wonder why it's not working. Well, it's not working because everybody is so different. And so good schooling started because we said, we want to make this easier for people. There's got to be a way to make this easier. Yeah. And so that was what caused us to start to think about, okay, like what are all of the decisions that families get faced with in those first couple of years, besides the obvious curriculum and classes and things like that? What kinds of things would it have helped us to know before we started? And so then we created our online course, Launch Your Own Homeschool Adventure. And then I started doing coaching, and now I have our membership. And so that was kind of how we got started with it. It was not because we had this grand idea of, you know, being homeschool coaches, but it was like, we came through it and went, wow, that was insanity. Like, why do people keep homeschooling when it's this hard? And then we realized, oh, it's not this hard if you do things the right way. Right. And so that was how we got started.
Yeah. And that's a lot of what, you know, when we first started this organization with Sped Homeschool, was a lot of people said, well, you've got classical curriculum here, you've got, you know, unit studies, why do you have all this stuff? And I was like, because not one thing works for everybody.
Right.
So we're giving you options that usually are easy to modify and change, but a lot more depends on mom than the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah,
you know, we'll get into more of that later, but you can't copy what exactly.
Nope. Yep.
I so agree with that, because if I would have done that, I would have gotten burned out really fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a lot of what we had done. We knew these homeschoolers and we knew these homeschoolers. So we took from them and we took from them, and, you know, what do you like most? What do you like most? Let's just put it together. And you don't realize how much of your own, like you said, the mom's personality or whoever's doing the teaching, the mom or the dad or whoever, how much your personality comes into play, how much your children's personality comes into play, your own thoughts about what education should even be. And so many people don't even, they see education as being this one thing, because that's all we know. We do conventional schooling and we're just kind of indoctrinated. Not that they're necessarily trying to indoctrinate us, but when you grow up with that and you don't know anything else, then
that's what education is.
What else are you going to do? Yeah. And so you don't realize there's all these other things that might work so much better, particularly for kids with different diagnoses and things like this. You don't realize there's these other things. If you just made a little shift, it'd be so much easier. And you don't know to make that shift because you don't know those things exist. Mm-hmm. So
true. Yeah. So if you're joining us live, we also want you to know that you can make comments in the comments, and we can see them. We can put them up. We can answer them. We can talk about them. So
say hi.
Yeah, definitely. let us know where you're from and a little bit about you. We'd love that. So that's why we call it Sped Homeschool Conversations. And that's just not a conversation between me and my guests, but also with you. And it's kind of like a weekly homeschool conference that we have on our live every week. So since most of those are not happening right now, this is a great way to tap in and for an hour a week. And then you can always watch the rebroadcast if you can't join us for the whole hour. So it'll stay up here on Facebook and also on YouTube. So, but yeah, as we're getting started, you know, I think we're going to first address, you know, just emergency homeschoolers. Mm-hmm. And that whole situation of, I got kids at home, what do I do? And especially if they're struggling learners, I'm hearing a lot from people that are retweeting Sped Homeschool, just to kind of keep us informed with what's going on with the public school kids, is that there's a lot of schools that don't even know what to do with kids who have IEPs. And they're kind of just saying, you know what, get the online stuff out for the regular kids. We can't worry about those that have special needs. And parents are just aghast.
Yeah.
But I want to give you some hope, and I know Allison can too, that this isn't a loss. Mm-hmm. There's so much you can do. Your child does not have to be, you know, go through regression during this time. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that I've noticed so many parents being so worried about, whether they have kids with special needs or not, is, like you said, this idea of regression of, oh my gosh, if we're not doing something every single day, my kids, you know, their whole education is going to fall apart.
Right.
And again, you know, I understand it goes back to that mindset. You know, we've been drilled into this idea. You have to do math every day. You have to read every day. You have to, it's okay to take a breather, you know, and,
exactly.
and, And people also don't realize that when you're stressed, you can't learn. So right now,
so true.
Your kids are stressed. Like they're off their normal routine. And if you have a special ed kid, routine is quite often like that's their safety net. And if you don't have that right now, they are on high alert. Their cortisol is pumping. Their, you know, their fight or flight is going. You're probably seeing lots of meltdowns. You're seeing kids that are, you know, their behavior's off the wall. And it's because there's all these big feelings around the fact that their whole little world just got upended. And adults are having a lot of the same problems. It's just that we have the tools to handle it. You know,
we
put the kids to bed and I know we put them to bed and we sit and we zone out on our shows or, you know, parents break open a bottle of wine or whatever. Like we have these tools. We know how to manage our stress. Little kids that, you know, kids don't know. They're still learning how to handle when life throws you a curveball. And there's a lot of adults who are not handling it particularly well. So if they can't handle it, how can you expect your kids to? So if they're all going crazy anyway, then the last thing you want to do is be like, we have to get this math done because it's just one more stress, you know?
Well, so, I have a story to share about that.
Yes.
My one son was going through depression we did math. And, you know, we did all of school. But a year later, I went and was going to go on to the next level of math. He remembered nothing from that entire year.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yes, we got his depression under control, but we had to repeat probably about a year and a half of math.
Wow. Yeah.
In that year, because we had so many gaps.
Mm-hmm.
So it is so true that you really do have to get that anxiety, that fear, that schedule. It's so important because really it's not even worth your time to be working on school things.
Right. Yeah. It's and even one of the things I've been telling families too is if your school has not given you any work to do, then they cannot hold you accountable for anything. If your child, they can't expect you to know what your child is supposed to be learning in school right now. And then, and for you to find just the right materials to be able to teach them everything. No. Yep. You are already so stressed out. You are already, you know, just trying, particularly if you're one of these families who is also having to figure out how to work from home. That is a whole other deal. Trying to do that and homeschooling. Like y'all have been thrown into the deep end and my heart goes out to you because it's, you know, we've had all this time to figure this out.
Homeschoolers,
but no,
there are a lot of special needs homeschoolers that do. I mean,
yes.
I've been on the
yes.
phone with many parents who just said, my school just brought me withdrawal papers to my door. Asked me to sign them.
Wow.
Legally they can't do that, but it has happened.
Wow. That is insanity.
So don't feel like this isn't the first time that I've heard this story.
Man, that's nuts.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
So, you know, we want to get on to the other topic, but, you know, learning is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what are some encouraging words you have for parents maybe about just how they can embrace what they can't do?
Yeah.
Right now?
You know, you look for the silver lining, right? So yes, there's all this chaos. Yes, there's all this, you know, uncertainty. But it is also like, when again is your whole family going to be together with pretty much nothing to do? Like how often does that happen that you're not running off to 8 million different things and everyone's got a schedule that's crazy and you spend half your time in the car and everybody's home, just be together. Play games, make it fun, make it so that when your kids in 20 years are reminiscing about, when they're telling their kids about the great pandemic of 2020, you know, the things they talk about are things about how, you know, how you all played board games all the time and you went in the garage and you built random goofy things with scrap wood and boxes and you made an obstacle course in the backyard and you sat and binge watched movies and like, make it like the world's most fun Christmas break, you know, like all the stuff that you do, you binge eat the crappy food and you know, you pop way too much popcorn and you stay up too late and you'll maybe not bet so much if your kid really needs the structure and the sleep, you know, but just don't worry about the school thing. Don't worry about the school thing. Don't worry about it. Take it off the table and just embrace this time to be together and to give your kids whatever they need structure-wise and whatever they need comfort-wise from you to feel safe and to feel secure and to be able to relax and just go with the flow.
And you're probably hearing my neighbor kids.
Like her neighbors are enjoying your time.
They're enjoying their time greatly outside. We've got two little kids next door, and I can hear them. So I'm sure you can hear them in my really good microphone. But they're enjoying being outside right
yes,
now.
Yes, there you go.
So definitely. But yeah, and as we kind of transition now into just regular, you know, homeschooling and struggling learners, the first thing we tell parents, and I know you do this too, is start de-schooling.
Yes, yes.
So this is what you're telling these parents right now to start doing.
Basically,
so,
yeah.
So let's transition into that, because this is the first step of starting to homeschool, is mm-hmm. this de-schooling process. So
yeah.
So what does that look like when you talk with a parent and say, this is what you need to do to get started?
Mm-hmm. So the idea of de-schooling is basically like a detox, right? Mm-hmm. And this time right now could not be more perfect for people who want to start homeschooling in the fall. You have been given the most amazing gift that I wish every homeschooler had, which is the fact that you can take your child out of school and really not feel like you're missing much because this is what school is right now.
This is what it is.
This is what it is. So when somebody tells me they want to homeschool in the fall and it's like, you know, now-ish, like spring, mm-hmm. I tell them now is when you withdraw your kids. I know it sounds crazy. You take them out now and you start the detox. And that is mm-hmm. basically, it's not a time of no learning. I had a mom say, I'm trying to de-school, but my kid wants to learn. And I'm like, then let them learn. That's okay. That's a good thing.
Child should want to learn.
It's not about, because what people get confused because they think, because what I'll tell them is it's a time of no academic expectation. There's no curriculum. There's no lessons. There's no, there's no reading for 20 minutes. There's no do this one math page. You remove all of the academic expectation and you allow them to rediscover their natural interests and to reignite their natural curiosity, because the longer kids are in school, the more those things get tamped down. They're in an environment that tells them what to learn and when to learn it and how to learn it.
Yes.
And so they have not been responsible for their own education in, you know, since the day they started kindergarten. And so they don't know. There's kids who they don't know what interests them. Like they, you know,
I didn't know when I graduated from high school what interested me.
Right?
You know,
right?
I went to college and thought, well, this is the degree my dad said I should get because I'm good at math and science. And, you know,
perfect example. How many of us, right? We graduated high school and went, I'm supposed to go to college. I have no idea what to study because I don't know, you know.
Exactly.
So this time is an absolutely amazing gift to you to be able to de-school without everybody looking at you like you're crazy, because you now have the opportunity to facilitate your child's interest. If they wake up tomorrow and they want to learn about sharks, then you get on YouTube and you find some shark videos and you get on your library and you see, like, our library anyway has a way that you can actually check out ebooks.
Yes.
So you'll look and see.
Partnerships with Amazon.
Yes, through Amazon, and you can do it through Amazon too. And you look for, go find some shark stuff, you know, and mm-hmm. and you let them do whatever they want with the sharks or whatever. Or if they just want to build Legos all day, you let them build Legos all day. Now I understand when it comes to kids who have special needs, sometimes they need a structure and you need to kind of have some kind of a routine in place, and that's fine.
Right.
It's not about having absolutely no boundaries and you know, schedule or anything.
Right, but it's not so detailed of a schedule that you are in control of everything. It's kind
exactly.
of like a mix of unschooling / you know,
it's like
exploratory
structured learning. Unlearning. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So you might say, okay, you know, when we get up in the morning, we're going to get up, we're going to do our hygiene, we're going to have breakfast, we're going to do chores, and then we're going to do crafts. What crafts do you want to do? What would you like to build? What should we make? Let them have a choice. Let them decide. And then you move on. Hey, let's read some books. What books should we read? And do some read aloud. Mm-hmm. But you're letting them make the choice. What do you want to read? What do you want mm-hmm. to build? What? And then free play. Go play whatever it is that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You give them lots of choice. If they need that structure, definitely give them the structure. But if you have a child who doesn't, you know,
mm-hmm. exactly,
then it's okay to just kind of let them let them explore, let them experiment, and you just facilitate that mm-hmm. as they start to learn what it feels like to be in charge of their own learning.
Right. And at first, it's very awkward for them to do that mm-hmm. because they're so used to being given so many things that you almost have to turn around and say, you know, okay, so, you know, this is what we're going to do. And then they'll say, well, how do I do it? Well, mm-hmm. however you want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, here's the pieces. What do you think? You know, and turn it back to them with those questions and the promptings. And they'll get more used to understanding it that this is how to motivate their own school.
Yes.
Jacqueline has a question here. She said, is it legal in Texas being that you have to teach certain subjects to be bona fide? At this point, if you are not withdrawn and homeschooling, then yes, but also understand that you are basically teaching almost all those subjects while you're doing all those crafts. You're reading, you're doing literature, if you're doing any kind of writing or any kind of fine motor skill, that would be considered handwriting, as my previous guest last week would tell you. So it's with special education, it definitely goes out of the boundaries of needing a specific curriculum to teach that. As we found, you know, kids with extreme learning difficulties, parents often say, how can I find a bona fide curriculum? Well, are you teaching to what they can learn? Because that's what the school would do. They don't mm-hmm. have a curriculum either. Mm-hmm. There's a little
yep.
secret.
Yeah.
Special ed teachers make up their own curriculum. And mm-hmm. and so I don't know if you have anything to add to that, Allison.
Yeah, and one of the things too about Texas in particular, and those of you who are watching and listening, realize that every state has different laws.
Yes.
So, and that is something you need to be aware of. Mm-hmm. It is legal in all 50 states to withdraw your child at any point during the year and start homeschooling. Mm-hmm. So you do have to look at what your law requires. Now here in Texas, yes, we are required to teach certain subjects, and the whole bona fide thing, really, it's not the same as accredited. I know a lot of people think bona fide means accredited. Mm-hmm. Accredited curriculum, that's a whole other discussion. Doesn't even exist. I'll just say that.
And it's not worth your money.
It's not, no. Yeah, ignore that. And it just means bona fide, basically, that it's real. Like, you're not teaching, you know, 1 + 1 = 3. What you're teaching is real, mm-hmm. and you're using real curriculum. I shouldn't say curriculum. You're using real materials. You're not just pulling random stuff out of your head and telling it to your kid.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's not what you're going to be doing. So yes, it is totally 100% legal in Texas. Mm-hmm. Withdraw your child, state that you're homeschooling. You are now officially in charge of your child's education, and you can work that however you want to.
And if you go to our website, we have 9 easy steps to getting started, and they'll actually give you links to every single one of your states. So
awesome.
That's a super easy way to figure out, because their laws and states change. We want mm-hmm. that state organization to be able to give you the information, not us, because they're the ones that were the experts on that.
Mm-hmm.
So in Texas, the Texas Homeschool Coalition actually has a step-by-step guide on how to withdraw if you're interested in that.
Perfect.
So one of the things that you have a blog that's kind of written specifically to, you know, homeschooling a struggling learner, and yes, you can. And, you know, the main points of what are the advantages that parents need to understand, because I think we often look at the disadvantages. When mm-hmm. I take my child out of school, they're going to miss out on this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
But I want them to see the flip side, because I know when I was talking with the executive director of the ADD Attitude magazine yesterday, she was interviewing me, and she's like, wow, I never really understood how really cool this is, that homeschooling thing, and just what an advantage it is to, you know, to kids we were talking about who have ADD and ADHD, but mm-hmm. you know, even about my son who's on the spectrum and is now graduating from college next month. And she's like, I didn't realize that this was such a good thing.
Yeah.
And
so
I think if you can get beyond what you're gonna not have,
mm-hmm.
I want Allison to tell you what you will have.
Oh, mercy. Yes. So many things. And oh my gosh, where do I even start? So I think the best, the 100% top, most awesome thing about homeschooling kids with special needs is the fact that you can tailor everything you do to their needs, to your goals for them, mm-hmm. and to their abilities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they're in the schools, everything the school is doing for them, you know, like therapy-wise, is to help them fit into the classroom. It's not necessarily to make their lives better. It's not necessarily to build their life skills. Mm-hmm. It's to make them fit in. It's just trying to get them into the little box. That's all they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When you homeschool, you say, what do I want for my child for their future? Mm-hmm. What, mm-hmm. you know, if they're going to be able to hold a job, what skills are they going to need? Mm-hmm. If they're going to live on their own, what skills are they going to need? And every single day you get to decide, are we going to focus on this? Or are we going to focus on this? Man, my kid is so jazzed right now to learn about whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, he woke up yesterday. He will not let go of this idea. Okay, fantastic. You leverage that to teach everything yes. else. Uh-huh. You don't say, well, I know you really want to build those amazing sculptures there, you know, with your Legos, but we really have to do some math. No, you say, oh my gosh, how many pieces do you put on that thing? We've got to count this. This has got to be some kind of a record. Uh-huh. Or, you know, you find ways to take the things that they love, that they're excited about, mm-hmm. and to leverage those to teach them the things that they need to know.
Exactly.
Because when you learn, when you're enjoying what you do, when you learn through a game, when you learn through play, you learn so much faster. So,
yes.
So why not?
It's much more concrete in your brain. You can connect it to other things. And
yep.
There's just what you're learning from a book, a workbook page or mm-hmm. a textbook, it can't compare, and it can be done yeah. in such a smaller amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of these parents are like, what do you mean we're done with math in 10 to 15 minutes? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all we do. Because mm-hmm. you're one-on-one. You don't have yes. to go through that whole classroom process of teaching the mass and
oh,
then going
my gosh.
And picking
yes.
every child who missed every little part and how to teach it to them specifically. No.
Yes.
You
yes.
just do it right the first time.
Right? Oh my gosh. People always look at me cross-eyed when I tell them most homeschoolers, you know, they're done in like 2 or 3 hours, maybe 4 or 5, if they've got older kids, you
older
know, four
kids,
or five,
yes, exactly.
you know, high school. And they're like, how on earth can you get all that work done? Mm-hmm. And I think back to when I was in the classroom and how much time got wasted from housekeeping type stuff, just getting papers passed out and going over announcements and getting things collected and then dealing with behavior issues and then dealing with transitions. You've got 30 kids in a classroom. Just saying, okay, everyone put this book away and get this one out is like 5 minutes if you're lucky, you know, because then this kid has to go to the bathroom. This one wants to get a snack and or their drink. And this one wants to go sharpen their pencil and it's herding cats. And by the time you finally get back to it, you've got 20 minutes before lunch and I'm supposed to do, you know, a reading lesson. And, you know, it's like, all right, well, you know, it takes so much time to do anything when you've got 30 kids or 25 kids or when you've got your child, you know, your child, you know how to teach to them in a way that is going to catch their attention the first time. And I know parents are thinking, but I'm not a teacher. I don't know. You're a parent and homeschooling.
I'm not a teacher.
No, homeschooling is an extension. Yes, homeschooling is just an extension of parenting. You taught them everything until they got into school. You can teach them this stuff too. Don't feel like, oh, I'm not a teacher, so I can't.
And you learn along with them. That's just the beauty of it. I never appreciated history till I homeschooled.
Oh my gosh, me too.
I love this.
I love it.
It's about real people in real life. I never even realized that because all I looked at was dates and places and it was so boring.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, right? And when you don't have these, you know, these standards being crammed down your throat, you have to teach these, the Common Core, this 6.2 and this blah, blah, blah. And you have to meet all of these little tiny goals. Then you get to do things in a fun way because you're not strapped to this little checklist. You have to do everything just right. You know, you reenact things. If they like building Legos, let them recreate, you know, the crossing of the Delaware.
Yeah.
Make their little boat, make their little George Washington and, you know.
Yeah.
You let them, everything that you're doing, you can do with Legos. I can almost guarantee it.
My son just started moving all of his Legos out to the garage because he's home now doing college from home. And I'm like, there's no room in your room. So those Legos have to go. But, you know, he built Legos. He still gets them for Christmas. He's almost 23. But he's going to be an engineer. He's graduating as an engineer.
There you go.
College. So, you know, building is just his thing. And so you encourage it. And
you just
go with it because if that is what it's going to connect. Some kids, you know, like Minecraft, you can teach classes. I have one that, you know, does art. So we mix art in, or had one that made costumes, you know, for every reenactment we did, but, but that was how they connected the dots with what they needed to do to learn the concepts. So so true. So we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, and then Allison's going to come back. We're going to talk more about this. We've got so much more content to cover. So so don't go away. We're just going to hear quick from Bookshark, and then we'll continue this conversation. So but we do want to thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode. They have actually sponsored quite a few of our episodes lately, and we just want to thank them for that. So Bookshark is a curriculum. It's literature-based. It's a four-day faith-neutral, and you can visit them at bookshark.com. But Kim McNary, a busy homeschool mom, says, my daughter's on the spectrum as well as has OCD and has instantly taken to this curriculum. It's incredibly structured, which makes us both ecstatic. You know, some parents just need that structure. So you definitely have to look for that if you need it. The books are great. The kids are awesome too. I'm running my daughter to all kinds of appointments. Probably not right now, but this curriculum fits in amazingly, and we are first-year Bookshark customers and happy as a lark. So, you know, Kim is right that Bookshark is a fully planned four-day curriculum, which flexes with your lifestyle. You've got that extra day to do whatever you need to do and fill the time. They give you a detailed instructor's guide, so you just open it up, and they've got everything there for you, detailed plans, the guide, the resources even come along with it, and your child will read or have read to them 30 to 50 engaging books every year. And you can either get it as a whole package or just by subject, whatever works best for you. So definitely check out their website at bookshark.com. You can download samples, try them out. That's what we always tell people to do. Try out a curriculum, try the free stuff. Don't invest in it and say, this is it's gonna save our homeschool. Try it. See if you like it. See if your child likes it. And then request a catalog if it does work to see what they offer. So thank you, Bookshark. So we're going to bring Allison back. We're going to keep talking about, yes, you can homeschool your struggling learner. And, you know, we've already covered a lot. You may think we've covered everything at this point, but there's so much more. So, you know, we've talked about how not to copy school. We've talked about just how the school, you know, definitely have different agendas for especially special ed students, you know, those IEPs. And I remember having a conversation with a mom, you know, she was saying, they graduated my son from occupational therapy because he can get on and off a bus. She goes, he doesn't take the bus to school. I drive him there. Their idea of being functional in school was to get on and off the bus. And once he was able to do that, he's done with occupational therapy. And she goes, but he's doing so much more in Taekwondo. And I said, then continue the Taekwondo and forget about the school.
Amen.
So it's a mindset change, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so for parents who are, you know, looking at this as, you know, can I really do this? And the school, they have those experts. How can I do this as a parent? So let's address that. How, as a parent, can we say, yes, I can do this, and I might even do a better job than the experts? Because a lot of times they just have their hands strapped, and it's not, I mean, I love those people that, you know, devote their lives to helping kids in the schools, and they do an incredible job. It's just the resources are limited, and they have so many students. So it's really not them. And, you know, there's so many good tools that so many of them create that they share with parents in the homeschooling community as well. And we love that. But well, what's an encouragement then, you know, to parents that, you know, ma'am, I'm not an expert, I'm not a teacher, but can I really do better?
Yes, you can. Because you are an expert in your child. It does not matter how dedicated a teacher is. And this is coming from a teacher, who's, you know, spent time in the classroom. It doesn't matter how much teachers love those kids. They will never know them as well as their parents do. There's no teacher your child will ever have who will know your child better than you and will have that relationship and that history and the same goals and the same passion. Because it's not their child. And so when you take that role and say, okay, we're taking over, we're bringing this child home, we are going to homeschool, and you put yourself in the driver's seat, it is going to be overwhelming at first. It's going to be, you are definitely going to have those times when you're kind of freaking out and thinking, what in the world did I just take on?
I do.
What was I thinking? Oh my gosh. But what is so fantastic is that you have the flexibility on those days when you're kind of panicking to say, mental health day for mom. Okay. We're going to go on a field trip. We're just going to go to the zoo, you know, or we're going to go to the park, or we're not going to go anywhere. And, y'all just go have a day. Like,
we're going to make cookies.
And so you always have these opportunities whenever things get overwhelming, when things get scary, you can take a step back. You can, you know, hit the pause button and figure out, okay, what's freezing me up here? What's my concern? What am I worried about? And we have amazing organizations like Sped Homeschool, their group on Facebook. You come in, you pop in, you say, y'all, please help. I'm freaking out, you know, about X, Y, Z. And it's like crowdsourcing all these families who know exactly what you're going through. We're going to come and encourage you and say, no, you know, oh my gosh, we had the exact same worry. We were so worried about blah, blah, blah. Here's how we did it. Or yeah, we have that same problem. Here's some ideas. Yeah. And then you've got people like Peggy, you've got her staff, everybody that's in there who's going to be able to show you resources and point you in the direction of what you need. There is so much out there. Homeschooling has grown so much. Yes. Homeschooling now compared to even just 10 years ago is so different. And there are more and more families who are taking their special need kids and bringing them home because they're realizing the school is never going to be able to do everything that they can do at home. And they're never going to have their child's best interest 100% at the front the way that you can at home. And because of this, you know, hey, it's supply and demand. So the demand is going up for these resources, for classes, for opportunities. And so the need is being met. And so the things that parents freak out about the most probably turn out to be the things that are not nearly as big of a deal as they thought they would be.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You see a lot of the behavior issues go away. You know, I know so many parents that said, you know, I took my child off medication because they didn't have to sit still anymore because we could do school under the table while we're bouncing around.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Well, yes. You can do those things. And, you know, and then you can also take those breaks. I know we took a long pause when behavioral issues were the main thing we were working on and everything else stopped. But yet now, okay, I have two adult males in my house now, and I'm so glad I spent time on those behavior issues because I would be going crazy with this lockdown starting tonight. But you know, you have to project out to those things that school, yes, is important, but it's that whole child. Mm-hmm. And also what you were talking about, you know, they're focusing on what they do well instead of just their deficits. A lot of times the school will say, this is what the child can't do well. So we're going to put all these resources into catching them up and doing these things. And you can't force that usually.
Yeah. So much of it is developmental. And so much of the time, kids just need time. If they just were allowed to progress at their pace, whatever it is. Our youngest has dyslexia. And when we had her first tested at 7, she was labeled as a pre-reader. I mean, she's still at 7. We've been working with her pretty consistently for about a year and a half at that point. And she still, you know, there were still letters and sounds that she couldn't match. She couldn't hear differences between certain letters, switching things around all the time. And her tutor was a little horrified, and I was kind of offended. I'm like, well, you know, so sorry, but she's just not ready. Like, what do you expect me to do, you know? So we didn't use the tutor much after that, but then, in fact, at all. And what we found was that her brain just needed big stretches of time to assimilate everything it learned. So we would work for 2 or 3 months on her reading, and then we would stop for like 2 to 4 months. And it wasn't that she wasn't reading, it's just that we weren't doing reading. She loves to bake. So she's reading recipe, or we're helping her read recipes. Uh-huh. She was playing, she got really big into some video game, and it would, you know, all these subtitles coming up telling you what to do.
Huge,
she had to read those. And every single time we'd come back from one of those breaks, her reading would have improved so much, like just these major jumps. And so then, hey, we're all the way up here now. So then we'd work, and then we'd back off. We'd work, and we'd back off. And
well, you're reducing that anxiety level, like yes. We were talking about earlier.
Yes.
That you can't keep pressing because the anxiety level will go up, and then that's when learning stops.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're constantly being shown what you're not good at, it does not make you feel good. It does not make you, and when you're a kid, like, you don't have necessarily that drive to like, well, then I want to get better. No, you're just like, wow, I totally suck. So why even try? You know, I give up, you know? So
exactly. As
long as you just give them the time that they need and the space that they need. Mm-hmm. She just turned 12 last week, and she's completely independent now with her reading. She's doing her science. She's reading completely on her own. And we would never have gotten there if I had pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, because that's not how her brain is wired to work. And so when you are able, again, it goes back to that idea of that flexibility and being able to tailor everything to the way your child learns. When you're able to work with their brain, instead of having to be on this artificial timeline of, well, by the end of third grade, they have to have this. No, they don't. Grades are completely arbitrary. That doesn't mean anything, you know?
Exactly.
By the time your child is an adult, okay,
they
probably should be able to do this, you know?
Right.
So that's your goal, you know?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amy says the same thing. She said, I notice jumps when we take breaks. And
yes.
I know she used to be a special ed teacher, too. And now her schools and her kids. So, but yeah, it was the same story I shared on my interview yesterday. Was my son didn't learn to read till he was 12, and we tested every year because we were in Minnesota, that was required. Mm-hmm. And so the testing showed him as a non-reader, mm-hmm. and yet he was doing audiobooks, we were doing read out loud, so his vocabulary was incredible.
Yeah.
And the next year it says the test he took said he was reading at college level.
Wow. Oh, that's
because
so fabulous.
He just needed that time. And, you know, and that's, you know, I remember taking so many calls from parents saying, well, I removed everything else, you know, all the extras out, and my child still can't do this one subject. And and I said, don't do this. Take Allison's advice. You know, you add in the things that they love. You know, mm-hmm. we were talking about that earlier, because you want to motivate them towards learning, and you can't just focus on the stuff that they can't do.
Yeah.
Because it's defeating. It's really defeating.
Yeah. And also, I just thought of this analogy. So my husband used to play roller hockey. Mm-hmm. And he said, whenever a friend of his was like, oh, I wish I could play, but I can't rollerblade. You're like, oh, no problem. I'll teach you. And so he would take them out, and then he put a hockey stick in their hand the first time they're out on these skates.
Right.
And he'd go into the goalie box and he'd be like, okay, now try to score on me. And they're so focused on trying to score that they're not thinking about their feet. And he's like, you learn to skate like that, because they're not focused on this thing that they can't do and analyzing every little thing. And, oh, yeah, but I can't do this. I can't do this. It's like this sneaky back door to learning.
Right.
And it's the exact same thing. If your child freaks out about math, then the last thing you want to do is pull out a math book.
Mm-hmm.
You want to find the things that they love and
teach
math without saying, oh, look at the math that we're learning through this. Like, no, you don't point it out, right? You just sneak it in there, you know? And when they start counting things, you don't go, oh, look at you counting and draw their attention to it. You let it happen and over time, all of a sudden, they're doing the math. But it's not because you kept throwing a math book in their face. It was because you shifted their focus to things that they liked.
Right.
And then the learning comes through that.
Mm-hmm. And they won't be asking then, well, how am I going to use this in the future? Well, you know, it's
you're using it right now.
Yeah, exactly. And see how it just helped you solve a problem.
Right.
So so we have a question from one of our viewers. She said, I'm a sped paraprofessional for junior kindergarten and kindergarten. Since our students aren't in school for now, any suggestions on how we can help our students via Zoom? This is going to be a really hard thing. Some are nonverbal, but we want to interact with them. You know, it is really difficult. You know, if you can get one-on-one, that is going to make a huge difference. I can't even imagine trying to do a classroom.
Yeah.
Because I know some people do homeschool classes with smaller groups, but oftentimes, like with kids who are special ed, they want to start doing one-on-one first and graduate them to that because it is such a... It's a different, such a different experience. See, you know, seeing yourself on camera, interacting with someone, you know, who physically isn't there. I don't know if you have anything else to add.
The only thing I was thinking is maybe, you know, when you're saying helping them, I don't know how much help you can necessarily give, but connecting with them, since you are, you know, the person they're used to seeing and they probably miss you. And like we talked about earlier, having that, that structure and that predictability. Even if you just, if you're able to just read a book, if you have like a picture book and just do like a story time, because, you know, reading to kids, I mean, we all know that's like one of the best things you can possibly do. Right. Pick a book and just do like a read aloud and,
because
you know,
you
tell
are
them
an important person in their life.
Yes.
They,
yes.
You know, somebody who's been involved in their life. And like you say, it's part of that normal schedule just to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great idea. And Amy even said, you know, music with movement over Zoom can be helpful. She actually teaches over Zoom. So,
oh, fantastic.
And then she said books that have repetitive text. And you said you have activities we've sent them. So then you're dependent on the parent. If you have activities that you've sent, which, you know, sometimes they may be better than others. So yeah, there's so much involved and I don't envy you for the.
That's such a hard position to be in.
My sister was down visiting me last week, and she teaches English as an ESL teacher, and all of her students are, you know, under the poverty line. They don't even have computers, and she was stressing on her way back up to Minnesota this week.
Gosh,
how am I going to teach my students? I know it's a really big struggle, and a lot of teachers are going through that. So we definitely, you know, if there's any way that we can help, you know, there are people who teach on Zoom, like Amy, who have learned to adapt some of the things to their special ed students. So they are definitely people to connect with. So we've got about 13 minutes left. I want to make sure we get to some of the things that you had sent me notes about, and I'm going to dig through them. You know, life skills. That is important. And Sarah Tracy has something to share with you too. She said that you could communicate with students' parents to see if they have pet cards, make index cards, post-it notes, response. That's a great one. Tracy is also, we used to be on our team, special ed teacher. Uh-huh. So tons of great resources. You know, just definitely even tap into, put these questions up in our resource sharing group. I know we're only allowing parents in our support group, but if you join our resource sharing group on Facebook, we allow anybody to be part of that group. So definitely feel like you can throw those questions in there if you're not a parent. So
awesome.
So I'm sure people will keep adding things. I'm not going to bring them up because we've got limited time, because we're going to start our first Mom's Night Out right after this. So I'm
so exciting.
Yes, definitely join us for that. I have no idea how that's going to go. But we definitely want to get all of this covered as well. But, you know, it's just those life skills, the things that we can focus on that schools don't even have time to focus on. And you were talking earlier about, you know, looking at the future, the bigger picture, and maybe helping to parents kind of reframe what does that look like? How do I make that part of school instead of just saying, well, here's your chore for the day?
Right. Yeah. When you're looking at, you know, it's like reverse engineering. You look at where you're going, or no, you look at what you want, you know, what it is that you want at the end of this journey. What are your goals for your child when they leave your house? Mm-hmm. What are they going to need? And again, as their parent, you are the one who's going to be able to answer that question better than anybody else. And so you look and say, okay, well, they, you know, they're going to need to be able to cook if they're going to ever live on their own. They're going to need to be able to understand how to budget, how to balance a checkbook, how to use a credit card, how to shop, how, you know, all of these things that a lot of times we don't even necessarily think through ourselves because we just do them, you know?
Yeah.
And so kind of analyze your day. What skills do you use over the course of your day? And then start thinking, okay, so what are they going to need to know in order to do those things? What skills do they need? And you kind of work backwards and you go, okay, so here we are right now.
Right.
We've got this much time, you know, to figure this out. And remember too, it's not like they hit 18 and like the expiration date has come and they don't learn anything past that point. You know, like 18 is not a cutoff for education. And particularly with special needs kids, they may be home longer than, you know, other kids might typically be. They may have to, you know, they might be with you a lot longer. And, but that means you've got more time. It's not like you've got to have this deadline. And if they haven't learned it by 18, they're never going to learn it. So don't put this arbitrary cap on your child's education and say it has to be done by then.
Right.
It does not.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start looking at, okay, so what can we do now? Well, if they're going to be able to cook for themselves, they need to understand how to measure things. They need to understand how to, even little things like, you know, what's a wet ingredient versus a dry ingredient. Because if they're following a recipe that says to mix the wet ingredients first and then, you know, put in a little bit of the dry ingredients, okay, like super basic stuff. But again, it's super basic to you because you know it. At one point in your life, it was not basic. It was new information.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at all these little things and you just break it down to the very first step that they need to figure out, and then go to the next thing once they get that, and go to the next thing, and go. And you just, you're letting them live life with you, bring them alongside you,
mm-hmm.
let them help you make breakfast and lunch and dinner and do the laundry with you. And when you go to the store, show them how to comparison shop, show them how to look at prices and amounts and help them scan, you know, let them scan things on the little scanner and teach them how to use the machines and, you know, let them, my kids, half the time, I don't get to do my shopping anymore. They're the ones that want to do, you know, give me your credit card, mom. I want to scan it. And, you know,
right.
Which is great in a way, you know, like you work yourself out of a job. Isn't that the point of parenting? And so, but again, as you're doing things, you're teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Half of what you do in the kitchen is math, you know,
yes, exactly.
Amounts and adding and subtracting and chain, you know, having to convert things. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, so you have, when you look at what you do, you start to see
mm-hmm.
how all of these academic subjects that we compartmentalize as if they don't go together.
Right.
And you see that they're integrated into life everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And just by living life, you're teaching those things to your child.
And that's the beauty, is we're home with our kids all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we take them with us everywhere, you
mm-hmm.
know. And so, I mean, even though now we're home right now.
But when we go out, we take them.
When we go out, they tend to go with us.
Yeah.
And they do everything we do. And so it isn't like your child's at school all day and then you try to get everything done that you can, you know, or rush around when it's inconvenient or, you know, there's a lot of other stuff going on and it's just busy, rush, rush, rush. We can take that time slowly in the places we are. You know, let's go to the bank. How do we fill out a deposit slip? You know,
mm-hmm.
that's where we're at today.
Yeah.
You know, it's those types of things that it's the benefit that you have because your children are with you all the time. When we go vote, my kids come with me.
Yep. Yep.
Because they're with me, you know,
yeah. And they're going to have to do it someday. So
exactly.
Start learning now.
Get them comfortable with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely. I think we may be having some trouble with Facebook. It's been kind of alerting me.
Oh, no.
It's kind of why my brain's been kind of going back and forth.
Oh, no
here.
Worries.
But we're still broadcasting on YouTube, which, so we'll still have this broadcast. But I'm sorry if we lost you on Facebook. but we only have a couple minutes left anyways. And so I'm just going to let you kind of wrap up. You have some resources too to share that I want to make sure we get to. And
yes.
We only got 5 minutes. So why don't we go to those so parents can know how to connect with you and the resources that you offer through Good Schooling.
Awesome. Yeah. So I have a blog. It is not your typical homeschool blog. So if you've ever gone to a homeschool blog and been overwhelmed by everything that's there, mm-hmm. I take a very different approach. I have 10 articles. That's all that's there right now. There will eventually be more. But mm-hmm. I keep them very, very focused and to the point. And the whole point there is to help families make the transition to homeschooling. So if this is kind of new territory for you, go to goodschooling.net/blog, or just go to goodschooling.net and hit the blog button. And it's going to take you, you'll see all of them right there. I have an article that is specifically about homeschooling kids with unique needs. Mm-hmm. There is a download that you can get through that has tons of resources, links, you know, links to all sorts of resources, and sped homeschooling is one of the many. I also have a free group on Facebook. It's called Exploring Homeschool, and it's specifically for new and prospective homeschoolers and the homeschool curious. So if that describes you, you come there, ask any questions you have. And then I have two different coaching options. I've got my VIP program, which is basically, it's not so much coaching. It's actually, I set up your homeschool for you. So if you're in a major crunch and you don't have time to sit and do all this research and figure everything out, that's an option. And then I also have, and this is probably my favorite thing, I have the Confident Homeschooler membership community. And that is a membership group that has, I have an online course that's self-paced, video-based. It walks you through all of those decisions that need to be made. It helps you lay a solid foundation to launch your homeschool from. But then it has ongoing resources every month. It has personalized coaching. If you're struggling with something, you just schedule a coaching call and you and I get on and we brainstorm together and figure things out. I help you find the resources you need. We have group coaching, so many resources in that group. So if you just want someone to kind of, if you'd like to have a coach in your back pocket, right. That's kind of how I think of it. If you just want someone to kind of hold your hand through this process mm-hmm. and to be with you as you go.
And that's okay. It's great. There are people that just need that. And you know,
yes. Absolutely.
They call us at Fed Homeschool and we send them to people like you. Because we don't have the resources. Yes. We don't have it set up. You know, we're a nonprofit. The resources we give you are free and they're on our website, but that's it. And so definitely, you know, you want to connect with somebody like Allison when you're going, I just need somebody there, to walk me through this. There are people like that. And, we love that because, that's who I used to be.
Yeah.
And now I got all this going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's we're all at different places when we start homeschooling, mm-hmm. and it's that confidence level that you have to eventually build up. Some people naturally have more confidence, and you know, I can do this, even though I'm going to mess up greatly. That was my take on it. But sometimes it's just nice to have somebody there that can encourage you, and I just appreciate that you do that, Allison. And come alongside parents because we do want you to succeed in homeschooling.
Yes.
You know, you're a struggling learner and there's all different levels mm-hmm. of where people start out with this process. And a lot of, in our community, it's I always tell the state homeschool organizations, I review a lot of their websites for them. And I'm like, it's like a firefighting, you know, emergency 911. You need to answer all this right questions right there, or they're going somewhere else to look for the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it usually is a panic situation when we start homeschooling because our kids mean so much to us. Mm-hmm. And when we see them struggling, we just really want to step in and do something. And homeschooling is, you know, I hope you've learned from this hour with Allison that, yes, you can homeschool a struggling learner.
Yes, you absolutely can.
Yeah. So thank you so much, Allison. I appreciate your time. And we also thank Bookshark for sponsoring this episode.
Yay, Bookshark. And, Bookshark's great.
They are. You know, it's funny because I interview so many people and they sponsor a lot of our episodes. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh yeah, I just did a review for them. And so, you know, here's our guest recommending Bookshark as well. So they get the bonus, you know, double kudos. So we love that. But So yeah, we're going to wrap up this month. This whole month we've been focusing on tips and hints and tricks and all of that for homeschooling, you know, special ed in your home. But next week we're going to talk to Connect Education, and they work with the Diane Kraft method, if you're not familiar with that. Mm-hmm. But some Diane Kraft is on my board and a dear friend of mine, but they are a consulting group that actually uses her method, and so they're gonna come and talk with us next week as we wrap up this month on getting to the root of learning issues. And so a lot of what we're gonna talk about is auditory processing issues and all those things that are underlying a lot of these what we call diagnoses. Mm-hmm. And I know she helped me tremendously with my kids. Diane's methods did. So you'll definitely want to join in on that. So thanks everybody for joining us.
Yes.
Hop over to our first Special Needs Moms Night Out that's starting in just a few minutes. So thanks again, Allison. And thanks
Thank you.
We'll see you again next week.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.